You are live with Get Connected. Mike Agarbo here with Carmi Levy today. Get Connected, we are Canada's number one tech radio program. On today's show, it's Fraud Prevention Month. I think we're all being hugely exposed to all these scams online all the time, whether they're coming in our email or through texts. We have to be careful with our passwords. So we're going to be talking with the folks at MasterCard about password fatigue. You know, using the same password for everything, and how biometrics might solve some of those issues with things like Face ID and fingerprints. We'll also be talking about bundling streaming services. I'm talking with Dwayne Benefield from TELUS. This guy is fascinating. He is really helping structure how TELUS delivers a lot of their services, including television as we now know it. Yeah, a lot of us cut the cord with cable, which now looks like it was actually a pretty good deal back in the day, because you literally had hundreds of channels for, a monthly fee. And now there's just subscriptions everywhere. Well, they're bundling the subscription services, and we're going to tell you which ones and how much. And you'll actually be surprised at how affordable it is. We'll also be talking about subscriptions when it comes to printers. HP, big printer company, they think you'll subscribe a monthly subscription price for renting a printer and a certain number of pages. Would you? Well, we'll give you the details on that. Carmi, thanks for joining me on the show.
Oh, great to be with you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Do you remember Y2K?
Do I ever? Like it was yesterday. I was working in IT then, and we were mandated to actually stay within a certain geographic radius of the office in case something happened. We had to be at the office within a certain amount of time, and we actually practiced drills that if we all got called in, how long would it take us to get to work, and what would our stations be, and what would our team composition look like if an event did happen on the night of. It was a fascinating time where budget didn't seem to have any limitation and everyone was just afraid of the technology apocalypse. It was awesome time in technology history.
But nothing happened because I guess we overprepared for it.
That's right. We overprepared. I think fear got the better of a lot of people. I mean, there was a real reason for it. Systems were designed with only two-digit identifiers for the year instead of four. And so there was the potential for calculations to be wrong, for systems to go all haywire as soon as the year clicked over to January 1st, 2000. The potential was definitely there, and it did make a lot of sense to dig into old code and ask yourself, where can it fail? How can it fail? How can we make it better? So it was a really good exercise. But in the end, it was a huge amount invested. And, there were a few minor limited issues here and there. But for the most part, the world kept on spinning. And I think that was a good thing. It was a great example of IT over-preparing for something, even if the risk wasn't as big as we thought it ultimately would be.
So I'm bringing it up, Carmi, because these dates can cause havoc with computer code if they're not incorporated correctly into systems. And it looks like they had this problem down in New Zealand with Leap Day, February 29th. All the self-pay gas station pumps, the credit card payment terminals stopped working.
Yeah, if you tried to get gas on February 29th in a good chunk of New Zealand, you weren't able to if you tried to pay electronically. It had to do with a payment platform from a company called Invenco. And basically, these are the self-pay platforms that we're all familiar with when we go to Gas Up and we don't want to deal with someone in the kiosk itself. Essentially, they called it a leap year glitch. They were not ready for the fact that it was February 29th, and they crashed. And as a result, people weren't able to use them on that day. Completely unforeseen, whoever developed the software, they did not envision the existence of a February 29th, and it must have been some update that was implemented within the last 4 years, because obviously you would think that every 4 years it would come up, but my understanding is it was a new system that wasn't in place when the last leap year happened in 2020. And it only affected New Zealand because they're only deployed there. And it only affected this particular company's technology because it was their software. So it looked like Y2K. It felt like Y2K. And I think it was an example of what happens when we don't plan for things like Y2K, that you can have a very widespread impact. And a lot of people can be really left out of sorts simply because software developers didn't think to, maybe I should test for this as well as everything else.
Who knew leap year would cause such havoc? Speaking of havoc, this is kind of a serious thing. Apparently, in some of the Nordic countries, they're struggling to fly planes because of Russian jamming that's screwing up the GPS, signal.
Yeah. You know, a lot of us, we don't realize that GPS originally started as a military thing. So in the U.S., DARPA did some research into satellite-based navigation, and ultimately that led to the GPS that we know and love today. And originally it was limited only to the military. And in the first Gulf War, after Iraq invaded Kuwait, it was a key technology that allowed that kind of pinpoint bombing. Those GPS signals can allow a fighter jet, for example, to put a bomb on a very precise target, a huge military advantage, but also if you're on the defending side, huge military advantage if you can jam those GPS signals, make those bombs and those missiles go dark, confuse the enemy so they don't know where they are and where their weapons need to go. And that's what Russia has been doing. We noticed a significant increase in the instances of GPS jamming in and around Ukraine, leading up to, during, and since Russia invaded. And so because those jamming signals don't just stop at the border, essentially all over Europe, you are seeing, especially in and around Ukraine, that is leaking over the border, and you're seeing people in Norway, Finland, having difficulty using GPS navigation because it's being jammed by Russian military outfits. And those numbers have been increasing significantly, doubled in 2023 compared to 2022. And looking at early numbers from 2024, it continues to go up at a steep angle. So huge, huge problem, because you have this sort of military campaign to jam GPS signals, and civilians who have nothing to do with the conflict, just happen to live nearby, are getting caught in the electronic crossfire.
You are tuned in to Get Connected. I got Carmi Levy here with me today. We're talking about some of the latest tech news. Looks like Adobe's latest AI experiment can actually generate music from text. Who knew?
This is a really wild, you know, we're seeing AI being applied in all sorts of areas. So, for example, photo generation, video generation, but Adobe now has a music generator. It's called Project Music Gen AI Control. And it's kind of like, basically what you do is you type in the kind of music that you want. Compose me a song based on, I don't know, heavy metal, for example, or you know, smooth jazz. And then it will create that as a baseline, a template, a foundation. And then from there, you can tweak it. You can change the tempo, change the structure, make it more intense, less intense, remix entire parts of it, loop it. You know, if you're a music producer, this is like music to your ears, because it gives you incredible control over the process. And there have been tools that allow you to do bits and pieces of this, allowing AI to create content, but then you would have to drop it into a traditional production workflow app. Whereas in this case, Adobe says it's all in one. If you're a composer, musician, producer, anything like that, you can do all of your workflow within this app, gives you full control. And they make it very clear, this doesn't replace the human. This puts a very powerful tool in the musician's toolkit. It lets them create more music, better music, faster, more effectively than they could before. It's a really cool tool. I'm no musician. I like listening to it. I certainly can't create it. But seeing this is almost like, you know, if you're a photographer, you've been using these tools for years, videographers as well. Now musicians can get in on the action.
You are tuned in to Get Connected. We've got a great contest going right now on our website, getconnectedmedia.com. We're working with the TELUS Friendly Future Foundation. They're doing some really great work in communities, and especially helping out students as well, getting them connected and moving forward in life. And we do have a secret word to get you extra ballots or entries into the contest to hopefully increase your chance of winning. And that secret word we'll be giving out at the end of the show, so you're going to have to keep tuned in. But if you want to start getting entered, there are a number of different things you can do to get extra entries. GetConnectedMedia.com, the prize, pretty awesome, a Google Pixel smartphone, and $250 to your favorite charity if you win as well. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about bundling streaming services, just like the old cable TV days. Password fatigue and what you can do to protect yourself from online fraud. And later in the program, would you pay a monthly fee to rent a printer and to print X number of pages? Well, we'll tell you all about that as well. You're listening to Get Connected, back after this. You are back with Get Connected. Mike Hagerbo here in studio. We're going to talk about streaming now, and we've talked a lot about that over the years. You know, we've gone from cable TV to all the different types of streaming channels, and I've always, you know, asked, why can't there be kind of bundles of the streaming channels, you know, to save a bit of money? Well, it looks like my dreams have come true. We've got Dwayne Benefield on the line from TELUS. He's our chief product officer. Thanks for joining us, Dwayne.
Thank you for having me.
I think the last time we got together down in Vegas for that Amazon Web Services conference.
Yes, that reInvent back in November.
Yeah. But I wanted to get you on the program because I came across something you guys have called Stream Plus. And this is kind of what I've been thinking about for a while. You've actually bundled some of the most popular streaming channels together, Netflix, Disney, and Amazon Prime, I believe. So how much money can people save if they go down this route with you folks?
Well, maybe, you know, I actually want to start even with more context. You're right. Like you mentioned earlier when we first kicked off that, you know, you've been wondering why this doesn't happen. The reality is, and you know, that 85% of Canadians have at least one OTT service, meaning over-the-top streaming service. And actually most have two or more, but they're paying for them individually at full retail. And so, you know, there's an opportunity here to actually bring these services together in one plan, as you mentioned, or bundled. And in this case, we're offering customers a discount of almost 20%. So it's almost a no-brainer for those people that really want, you know, to have, you know, these three services, which again are probably the three most popular and provide a plethora of content across all genres.
So from, you know, what I understand, these streaming services, and I know Disney and Netflix in particular, they actually have different levels of their streaming services, like HD levels and, you know, kind of more basic levels. Which ones do you guys offer?
So again, we're focused on flexibility and giving customers choice. So we actually have two plans, an entry-level plan, which is their ad-supported tier. So there'll be ads, but you know, that price is $20. So again, discount is still, you know, very aggressive, but you get all three, you know, for basically, you know, a few cups of coffee. And then the second tier is where you want to step up and you're like, you want the, you know, the more premium experience, more streams, you know, yeah, more quality in terms of like 4K, HDR, and also fewer ads. And that's the premium Stream Plus bundle, which is $38. But again, a savings of almost 20%.
So to get those streaming bundles, from what I understand, you have to be a TELUS customer, correct?
Yes, you need to you know, either be a new or existing TELUS customer and subscribe to one of our various services.
And for the listeners out there, they have to have some sort of streaming box or TV or smart TV that's capable of getting those particular channels?
Correct. And it also applies to people who are existing customers. So if you have one, two, or three of them today, you can basically come over and subscribe to our Stream Plus package or bundle and actually very easily activate existing services and enjoy the great savings and the convenience of having it all at one plan.
Sorry, I'm just barraging you with questions here, but it's the details, Dwayne. For the Amazon Prime, is that the full Amazon Prime, like the shopping as well?
You bet, right? So it's not just obviously the Prime Video, but it's the shopping benefits, it's the Amazon Music benefit, it's everything you get with Amazon Prime.
We're talking with Dwayne Benefield. He is with TELUS about their new Streaming Plus service. And from what I understand, you guys also have the Koodo brand that's available in Canada. And I think out in the East, you actually have specific bundles around the Koodo services and Stream Plus.
Well, so let's actually go there. Yeah, so you're right. We've had Koodo Mobility for, you know, quite some time in terms of one of our brands for mobility services. We only recently launched Koodo Internet out East. And so what we're going to be introducing very shortly here is a bundle that we are calling Happy Stack. And why is it happy? It's because it brings together both your home internet, your mobility, and Stream Plus into one plan, starting at just $99. So it's, you know, for those customers that, you know, really need connectivity at home and on the go, but really also need that kind of video, you know, bundle and that video kind of service. This brings it all together so that, you know, customers can really enjoy and save all through, you know, one company. And it's exciting because, you know, particularly in the East, there's customers that are paying over $200 you know, for their video and their home internet and their mobility. And, you know, this is an opportunity for them to save as much as 50% and get truly the best in streaming, as well as a very, you know, incredible, you know, low cost connectivity plan that really, you know, that it links heavily into our world, you know, our award winning 4G and 5G networks.
How difficult is it to actually negotiate with all these big streamers to get them into a bundle? Because they are very independent.
You know, it's a great point, Mike, and I want you know, your customers and your listeners to understand, like, this is the first time on the planet that Netflix, Amazon, and Disney have agreed to come together and be bundled together. We are the first, the Canadians will be the first to actually enjoy the ability to kind of bring them into one plan. And it was, you know, years in the making, but I think we finally convinced them that, you know, Canada is the right place to bring such an innovative offering. And so we're excited to be able to bring it to, you know, your listeners and our, you know, existing and new customers.
What's the future for Stream Plus? Are you guys going to try to bundle additional streaming services in?
And I'm really happy you asked that question. So, you know, let's talk about two aspects of it. So in terms of the content, right, these are the, you know, three of the most popular, probably the three of the biggest, coming together and really providing an amazing base in terms of your kind of streaming home. But we're excited to let you know that there is a lot more coming. So in the coming months, we'll add additional subscription add-ons from the likes of Apple TV Plus, Discovery Plus, AMC Plus, and more. So you can actually now customize and enjoy even more and more savings as you, you know, bring those services that you want together into one plan.
Keep going.
I want to hit the second piece, because it's one thing to have, you know, all the content, but then you got to navigate it all, right? And so we're going to be further enhancing and giving customers the ability to kind of, you know, navigate those services all through a state-of-the-art digital box, so that you can, you know, from a single interface, you can search and watch all the content included within your Stream Plus subscription. So no longer having to bounce in and out of a bunch of apps to actually find and watch the content that you would truly want to see that night, and much more immediacy in terms of finding what you want.
It's interesting you're going down that road because back in the old days, which weren't that long ago, we all had cable TV, and then obviously the streaming services came out, and you know there were great value, no question. But I think it really fragmented the experience of trying to find content, you know what I mean? Like, now you had to go to all these different streaming services to find shows. So if you are able to actually kind of combine that into kind of one user interface, I think that would make it a lot easier for folks to navigate.
That is one of the goals, yeah. And I've been in video, as you probably know, Mike, for, you know, a couple decades or more, actually. And I think, you know, for consumers, it has been challenging to find, you know, the content they want. And Stream Plus is an answer to really kind of lean in and be customer first. And that's why we, you know, wanted to make sure that we innovated in this way for the Canadian customer.
Been talking with Dwayne Benefield from TELUS about the new Stream Plus service, bundling some of the most popular services together. I think about time. I think that's a great opportunity there. Where can people find out more information, Dwayne?
They can go to TELUS.com or, you know, Koodo.com to hear more about both services.
Thanks for coming on the program today.
Thank you for having me, and look forward to seeing you again soon.
It's March. Do you know what March is? It's Fraud Prevention Month. And this is an important topic, especially when it comes to all of us using the internet. There are so many online scams going on out there. People are always trying to get into our personal information, our banking information. A lot of it revolves around making sure that we are kind of looking after ourselves, making sure that we have the right passwords, changing our passwords. To help us get a little bit of insight into this and maybe some best practices, we've got a great guest. She's been on the show before. Her name is Aviva Klein from MasterCard. She's the Vice President of Cyber and Intelligence over there. Thanks for joining us, Aviva.
Thanks, Mike.
So I talked about passwords. What's the latest data on password fatigue? Can you kind of give us a rundown of that?
Absolutely. We did some research last year and spoke to Canadians, and what they told us was overwhelmingly that they are tired of passwords. They shared with us that one third of the people that we spoke to said that they continue to use the same password across various different platforms and accounts, and that in general, they're really not that interested in changing their passwords. In fact, about 60% of Canadians only change their passwords when prompted, which is really not great cyber hygiene. I like to think of passwords as, you know, the lock to your digital estate. And just like you wouldn't leave your house unlocked in the physical world, increasingly, you know, as our lives become more digital and we accumulate more digital assets, it's increasingly important to keep your digital estate locked too. And the best way to do that is with strong passwords.
How often should we be changing our passwords?
Best practice is once a quarter.
Every 3 months.
Once a quarter. And you'll find that, many businesses have like prompt you to change your password just automatically. They'll ask you to do it to force you. Obviously, not as frequently as every quarter, but increasingly businesses are, taking proactive steps to protect consumers because, if you're involved in, a compromise, that's not good for your business. So we do see big businesses. Hopefully we'd like to see more businesses, quite frankly, kind of step up in the password game, to help protect Canadians.
So, what's interesting, Aviva, I I'm following up on all these hacks, these big companies, they've been breached, they've been hacked, but from my understanding, many times it's these hacker groups that have come across a database of compromised username and passwords from some of these websites, and then they use that information and kind of brute force those same usernames and passwords into, thousands of different websites out there to see if they can get in.
Yeah, it's not, definitely something that is a common tactic among criminals. I think the thing that is important and what I would really like to talk about is that, we're going to be moving beyond the password. And this idea of increasingly using biometric authentication to authenticate yourself rather than using a static password or a one-time password, those text messages that come in all the time. Whenever you're trying to interact with some website, those are really easily manipulated, and we've seen many cases where people just give fraudsters the one-time passwords, or the fraudsters can intercept those one-time passwords and generate access to accounts without the actual account owner knowing that it's happening. And so because of the inherent weaknesses in passwords, we are investing in new technologies like biometric authentication to really help improve user experience and bring fraud rates down.
What are some examples? I can think of, like, on my iPhone, I've got Face ID. That's a form of biometric
security. It is.
Yeah. And I guess fingerprint scanners and things like that as well.
Yep, anything that is that is part of you. So your retina, your fingerprint, your heartbeat, your face, those types of markers are typically the biometrics that we see on the market right now. And this technology is really only getting more and more sophisticated. So the latest type of biometric authentication leverages a new common standard, what we call the FIDO standard, which is Fast Identity Online. It uses advanced cryptography to ensure that only the right person can access that baseline biometric to do the comparison against. We're really spending a lot of time and effort on biometrics, trying to bring this new FIDO-based biometric service to the Canadian market. And there's many different use cases that this type of technology can be applied to. I think that the easiest one for people to wrap their head around is the one-time password text message. That will likely start to go away sooner rather than later, and that will be replaced with your phone or your laptop, something requesting a biometric authentication from you to make sure that it's really Mike. So we're really excited about that. We think that, you know, there's a lot of safety and security benefits, not to mention incredible user experience benefits that this type of technology can bring to both Canadians and Canadian businesses.
We're talking with Aviva Klein from MasterCard. She's the VP over there of cyber and intelligence. And it's really important, you know, it's Cyber Fraud Prevention Month or Fraud Prevention Month. And there are a lot of hackers out there trying to gain access to our information. So it's interesting chatting with you, Aviva, and especially with MasterCard. I know a lot of people think of you guys just as the MasterCard payment card, but you guys invest a lot of time and money into preventing fraud.
Yeah. I mean, I like to say we've been in the safety and security business for 50 years, right? We've been in Canada for 50 years, running our network here. And without trust and, you know, on both sides of the network, either as a merchant or as a cardholder, you're just not going to use the card. So we've been fighting fraud on our cards for many years. And we are increasingly adapting to the times, moving away and from a lot of, you know, face-to-face more into digital. So things like biometrics and authentication are important because, you know, you're not standing in front of the merchant. And so it makes it more difficult for the merchant to really assess, is Mike really Mike? And, you know, also all of the like data that the digital economy provides really does help us develop AI models that can intake, you know, hundreds of data elements at a time and provide scoring around the likelihood of a transaction being fraudulent. And so that really helps, not so much in, I mean, it can help in authentication, but it also helps in authorization. You know, when the bank is saying, you know, yes, I'm going to give access, or yes, I'm going to approve this financial transaction. You know, all of that data and the decisioning around that and the computing power is helping make better decisions and faster.
Where can people find out more information about some of these things that you folks are doing, Aviva?
You can definitely go to mastercard.ca for sure. I would also recommend, you know, talking to your bank and seeing what your bank offers.
That was Aviva Klein from MasterCard. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
When we come back from the break, more tech to talk. Stay tuned.
You are back with Get Connected. Mike Jagerbo here. Got Carmi Levy with me today. Don't forget to enter the contest. www.getconnectedmedia.com. It's with the Friendly Future Foundation, the TELUS community side, and we are giving away a Google Pixel phone and $250 to your favorite charity as well. These folks do a lot of great work. There's a lot of information on our website about that, and if you keep listening in a little while, we'll give you the secret word to get you a bunch of extra entries into the contest to increase your chances to win. We're going to talk subscription services a little more, Carmi. We had TELUS on talking about their Streaming Plus bundle, which I think was cool. You know, having like Disney Plus and Netflix and Amazon Prime all bundled together, just like cable TV of old. You know, there's Spotify subscriptions, but HP is launching an all-in plan. HP, Hewlett-Packard, you know, the printer folks, always trying to move more printers and more ink. And so my question is, are people going to subscribe to their printers in the future? So I believe this is launching in the States. It starts at $6.99 a month, at $7 a month. They rent you the printer and that gets you a few pages a month. I think it's 20 pages or something like that. And the more you print, that that cost goes up on a monthly basis. So I'm interested to see, is that something that people could swallow?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because if you look at so many consumer product categories, they're all moving towards subscription. We used to buy software in a box. Now we subscribe to it and it comes to us via the web. You know, you walk into a big box store, it's very hard to find software that you buy and install. You can't even use disks anymore. So everything is as a service or AAS. And I think it was inevitable that we would have printers as a service as well. HP would rather sell us a subscription that generates revenue every month than sell us a printer sensor once and then only get that revenue one time. And I think it's safe to say most of us don't really like buying printers. We don't like buying the ink. It's kind of a hassle. We think it might be expensive. It's expensive per page. Printing is one of those things in technology that just hasn't gotten better with time. And so certainly a rental plan could hopefully do that. The devil, of course, is always in the details. They'll send you ink. They'll monitor your device over the internet, which is kind of cool. And then as you approach getting empty, you'll automatically receive new ink. You'll probably get promotions and updates and bundles from them because, again, they're monitoring the printer and they know what the status is and they can maybe suggest ways of printing more cheaply. I think that's a cool value add that you don't really have now. The kind of issue that I have with it is that, A, they are monitoring you and they are gathering data and they are sharing it with their third-party marketing partners. And so yet again, you're not just printing something, but you're now part of this sort of data collection regime, which some people might not be comfortable with. And then if you decide after a few months that you want to cancel it, the fine print suggests that you might have to pay a cancellation fee up to about $270. And those are US dollars, by the way. And so the longer you have the printer, the smaller that cancellation fee becomes, but this is a contract that you're signing. You're committing to 2 years. And the question then becomes, is it worth what you're paying per month? Is it worth having to monitor how many pages that you print, lest you go over and get charged more? I think it'll be interesting to see how many consumers buy into this, because the way it looks now, there's not a whole lot of upside, and maybe a little bit more downside than I was kind of hoping for. I think HP maybe might want to look at adding a little bit of sugar into the ingredients, make it a little bit sweeter for us to buy in, because right now it looks like advantage to the printer company, not necessarily to the printer user.
It's interesting, Carmi. When I first came across this story, I thought, this is stupid. Like, who's going to do this? But when I thought about it more, I mean, that's how a lot of big corporations work. They actually kind of lease, you know, these big copier printers. You know what I mean? They're not buying them typically. They're leasing them from Hewlett-Packard or Xerox. So they're paying a monthly fee already. So the system's kind of already set up for that. Just as consumers, we're not used to that type of model. And then when I thought about it more, $7 a month, you know what? That's kind of a reasonable price to have a printer in your home. That's $85 a year. You know, if you had to go out and buy a printer, you know, it might be a few hundred dollars and then the ink. So you just don't have to worry about the hassle. So for $7 a month, there is a huge convenience there, and it's not breaking the bank. I think people are used to paying $10 a month subscription for something.
Yeah, I think that certainly that makes sense when you do the dollar. And I don't think people realize how expensive it is to buy and care and feed for a printer. Once you start figuring out what all those costs are, you know, it's probably one of the most expensive pieces technology that we have in our house, just in terms of day-to-day use. And so certainly when you put the two next to each other, you might be able to save some money in terms of a rental, but you also have to really watch what you're printing, make sure that you don't go over the limits, make sure you've picked the right tier. For example, you can go up to $35.99 a month for 700 pages. So if you print a lot, it'll cost you more. And I think we all want a more friction-free printing experience. I think for most of us, it's just too much of a hassle. But again, I think they have to address the cancellation fee issues. They have to address the data collection issues. And also there's just the fact that now with everything becoming a subscription, now I've got multiple subscription payments to manage every month. It's why I like that, you know, that TELUS approach where, you know, basically they're all in one. Put all my subscriptions together and I might pay for a subscription management service that makes it, you know, easy for me to have one payment that's broken down in an itemized way instead of having to deal with multiple vendors in multiple ways at multiple times of the month. So again, I think there's still opportunity here. I'm not fundamentally opposed to as a service subscription or rental payment structures, but I think we really do have to look at the details and make sure that it's the consumer's advantage and they don't feel like it's death by a thousand cuts, because they have to look at every last detail to make sure that they're not getting ripped off.
Yeah, I read more about it as well. Like if you don't print those pages, those 20 pages, it rolls over to the next month. as well. Mm-hmm.
Which
and I think that's exactly, and I think that's fair. And as long as there's a, again, I haven't seen what software they use to manage that, but if you put it into an easy to use dashboard that allows you to understand the current status of your print account so that you can manage your printing accordingly and not incur unexpected charges, I think that's a really cool improvement compared to the way we print now, which is really, there is no transparency in terms of what it's costing us. We're just holding our breath and hoping the darn thing comes out the other end.
We're talking about HP's subscription service. I think they're launching it in the States right now for $7 a month. I kind of like the SuperTank printers. Like, I have that Epson EcoTank printer. You pay a little bit more for it, but there's no more ink cartridges. It's got, like, you know, tanks of ink that literally last for thousands of pages. I still have, you know, one I got a couple years ago, and I haven't even gone through all the ink. Like, and I don't worry about printing color anymore. I'm printing photos like it's going out of style, and I still have tons of ink, and I don't worry about the cost, because when I do need to refill that Epson printer, you know, the ink bottles for the different colors are only about $15 a pop, right? So it's so reasonable.
There's definitely value to that. And I think, you know, and I think Epson has sort of struck on something, is that we're really tired of having to refill our printers every few weeks or after a fairly small number of pages. That was a big issue when we switched from laser printers to inkjet printers, which, you know, gave you high quality printing, but at a cost. And so certainly I think anything that reduces the cost per page, certainly worth having, but also something that just allows us to print without worrying every time we press that print button or, you know, or hit the link. I think that's important too, because printing should be like every other aspect of our technology lives. It should be seamless. It should be worry-free. And we shouldn't have to fret about it every time we go to use it. And that has been the case for much of printing's history. Epson struck on it. I'm kind of hoping HP has struck on it with its subscription model. And I'm hoping other vendors kind of look at printers again through a different lens and go, how can we make it even better for consumers? Because it's still the one area of technology that hasn't really undergone this miraculous revolution like everything else has.
Yeah, I you know, with my Epson EcoTank printer, I couldn't go back to like cartridge printing again, because that drove me crazy. Because, you know, inevitably I'd be trying to print something Sunday night for, you know, the kids' homework project, you know, that's due on the Monday. And, you know, the ink,
you run out.
I'm out of ink, and I've got to run down to Staples and hope to God they're open and have the cartridge as well. But I think, you know, one challenge I'm finding with some folks out there, I don't think we print as much anymore. And you have to, and this is a lesson for the listeners. You know, many of us have printers in our home. You know, every month, print something out, so that, you know, you're actually getting the ink flowing. Whether you have a, you know, an EcoTank printer or a cartridge printer, print out a page or two just so that the ink is kind of flowing through the print head and the system. Because I find a lot of people maybe don't even print for like a year, and, you know, things dry out, like, you know, the ink head and things like that.
Yeah, I had a printer that I hadn't used for about a year. And then when I went to go use it, I realized that the operating system on my Mac had been updated and they no longer supported that printer. So,
oh, no.
So, yeah, I think it is a good reminder. You're right. We don't use printers as much as we used to. I think we're doing more things in the app or in the web service, and there's less of a need for us to print out. But, you know, certainly, you know, being able to print photos at home or being able to print other things in the home is certainly still a value to most of us. And you're right, every once in a while we should sort of put a little notification in our calendar to just maybe trigger the device and make sure that it's working, so that you know, everything hasn't dried up. But yeah, no question, I'm not getting rid of my printer anytime soon, but I definitely use it a lot less than I used to.
Going to shout out to the contest again. We have a secret word for that. We are giving away a Google Pixel smartphone. It's a beautiful phone, and if you win, $250 to give to your favorite charity as well. This is all from the Friendly Future Foundation, the folks over at TELUS, doing some wonderful work in the communities here in Canada and with students. And that's the secret word this week, because they're giving out bursaries. So the secret word is bursary. And if you enter that into the contest page, there's a place for it. You will get extra entries to hopefully win that fantastic prize. Again, getconnectedmedia.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast as well, of the radio show, so that you can get it on a weekly basis. And I want to thank you, Carmi, for joining us on the program again.
Oh, always great being with you, Mike. I so appreciate being here.
That's all the time we have left. Mike and Carmi signing off. We'll see you again next time.